Good morning, everybody. Good to see you this morning. I'm grateful that you've been sitting at Meals with Jesus throughout this season of Lent. I pray that you've been discovering some powerful encounters with Him and discovering the great joy of what that relationship with Him looks like. I'm also excited about our Mozambique endeavor, the initiative for the food store, and the wonderful ways that that will help make life really true for our friends and brothers and sisters in Mozambique. So if you haven't already made a contribution, I sure want to invite you to make a contribution to the Mozambique Lenten Endeavor. It's always a blessing. Our goal is $50,000, and I know we'll reach that as we have every single year before. So I know you'll want to be a part of that. Well, so I've come to this realization today in particular as we discover what it's like to have these meals with Jesus, and we've had these various sit-downs with Him. I've discovered that we in this country have a problem. It's an ADD problem. Do you know ADD? Now, I'm not really talking about what you and I normally think of as ADD. I'm really talking about the abundant distraction disorder that we have in this country. We have an abundance, right? And we sometimes get distracted by all of this abundance that kind of keeps us from knowing who we are and what we're supposed to be about. An abundant distraction disorder, I call it. And it's because we have so many choices. We have so many possibilities. We have so many distractions. I mean, one only has to walk into any of the major grocery stores to discover there's like, 100,000 items you can buy, right? And it gets overwhelming when you step into the store. Or you go online to Amazon or any other online retailer and you discover how many choices there are. Or if you're like me, when you grew up in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex and we had three television stations and now there's hundreds of television stations and you're not sure where to go and we can flip and never land on anything, right? There's just too many choices. It's just phenomenal. We have so many opportunities. We have so many ways forward. And initially, when we think about all these options and all of these opportunities and this wonderful abundance, initially, it feels great, and wow, look what I can do, and look at all the possibilities and all these kinds of things. But a part of what we've begun to discover, both scientists and theologians, is that this abundant distraction causes all kinds of things that are not helpful. Things like lack of focus, things like forgettability. I forget things because I have way too many things to remember, or stress, or even fatigue. I get overwhelmed, and so I get tired just looking. I don't know about you, but if you go down the cereal aisle in the grocery store, oh my, that causes fatigue. You just look at all the options. You're like, what am I going to choose, right? This ADD can cause problems that get us off course and cause us not to be able to focus and align ourselves where we ought to be aligned and focused. Well, I got good news and bad news about that. The bad news is, this is nothing new. This has been going on since the biblical days. Jesus is going to share a story with us at a meal that he had with two women friends that tell us that this has been going on for millennia. That's the bad news. The good news is there are some solutions. There are some ways forward that can help us deal with this ADD that causes us not to be able to do what it is we ought to do. So we've been at these meals with Jesus, and we've been in the Gospel of Luke. We've had both private, personal meals with Jesus and a grand, glorious meal that fed 5,000 last week. We're back in the intimacy of a private home this morning, Mary and Martha's home. And we have a great way for us to discover how it is that we can get focused on who Jesus is and what it is he can offer to us. Listen now for this story. As Jesus and his disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." Well, I love a good sibling rivalry, don't you? Mary and Martha are together there in Martha's home, and they're welcoming their guest, and Martha's working away hard to prepare great hospitality and welcome Jesus, and Mary is just sitting at Jesus' feet. And you can feel the tension, right? Martha's put out by this. She's working hard, and yet Mary seems to be doing nothing right, and Martha wants Jesus to call her out. But Jesus has another word for Martha, doesn't he? And it's fascinating because Martha really is doing what she's supposed to be doing, right? She is welcoming her guests. She is preparing a great feast. She is offering grand Eastern Mediterranean hospitality. And that's the thing to do, right? I mean, that is a wonderful and glorious thing to do. Notice, Jesus is not calling her out for her actions. He's calling her out for her distractions because she's distracted. She's distracted by all the preparation. She's distracted by the things that are encumbering her. And she's not quite clear what to do. And she's clearly gotten off course just a little bit because she doesn't understand what it is she needs to be doing. It's fascinating because she's clearly committed to serve. She's clearly committing to do what it is she's supposed to do. So Jesus is not calling her out for some kind of sinful behavior. He's simply acknowledging that she is distracted. And the distracted concept is fascinating. This word distracted that's there twice in these few short verses, the word distracted in the Greek is peripsal, peripsal. And peripsal literally means dragged around. Dragged around. Have you ever felt that way? Dragged around by your schedule, dragged around by the circumstances of your life, dragged around by the things around us, whether it's events or opportunities, whether it's my schedule. I bet we've all felt at some point dragged around or distracted by things that feel as though they're uncontrollable. And I feel as though Martha felt like this was her reality. I got to fix a big meal. I got to make sure the home's all ready. I got to make sure this is just so, and I got to make it just right, right? And so she gets distracted by what is clearly a good thing, but it's taking her focus off the one thing. And the one thing is what Jesus wants to highlight for Martha. It's what Mary has discovered, to sit at Jesus' feet. To hear his teachings, to sense and feel his love, to recognize his mercy and his abundant grace, to know that he cherishes even her, to sit at Jesus' feet. It's a fascinating encounter because it feels like Mary's doing nothing, right? Feels like she's being lazy. Feels like she's abdicating all responsibility. Feels as though she's not helping in any way, shape, or form. And clearly, that's the way Martha feels. But it's interesting that what Martha has done seems not quite right. Mary, on the other hand, is doing the one thing that Jesus claims is the better thing. And the one thing that is the better thing becomes the only thing that needs to be done. Jesus highlights it. He's basically acknowledging that we need to sit at his feet, which basically means a disciple, a learner, a follower, that we need to sit at his feet so that we can actually live out being the disciple that we're called to be. I know we didn't read it all, but I want to place the story in its exact context in the Gospel of Luke. In Luke chapter 10, where we find ourselves today, the very last few verses of Luke chapter 10, the first part of that chapter is fascinating. It's the sending out of the 70 who go out and teach and preach about Jesus' love and help people come to faith, and they make major headways about how to be faithful and how to call people into faithfulness. And then immediately after that is the parable of the Good Samaritan. You all know that one, right? How to be a neighbor, how to do what it is God's calling us to do, and all of the behaviors that act upon what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And then this story of Mary and Martha. But we're not done yet. When you step into chapter 11, the very next few verses, it's about how to be faithful in your living, how to be a disciple of Jesus. And so on two bookends of this one encounter between Martha and Mary are some amazing stories about how it is we live the faith of Jesus, how it is we do what it is we're supposed to do as his followers. And right in the middle, five short verses, an encounter that Martha and Mary have where Jesus is saying, how is it that we can be these faithful people? How is it that we can do what it is we're called to do? And Jesus sets it right in front of us. If you'll do the one thing, it will allow all other things to work together for God's glory. If we'll do the one thing, then all other things work together for God's glory. In other words, in order to be the people God calls us to be, in order to do the work that God calls us to do, in order to build God's kingdom, we've got to first sit at the feet of Jesus and understand who he is and recognize what he's calling us to and absorb his will and his ways and recognize what this love is all about and understand how it is that it has impact on who we are. We've got to first choose the one thing so that we can do all other things. It's a fascinating concept, isn't it? And a part of what we all recognize in our own lives is we too feel like we are sometimes dragged around, distracted by all of the things of life, feeling as though somehow life has grabbed hold of us and just dragging us along, and we're not quite sure how we're going to find time for Jesus and how we're going to understand what God's love is for us and how it is we're going to commit to serve other people because we've got so many other things to do. We get distracted like Martha, doing not bad things, actually sometimes really good and productive and helpful things, but it's not the one thing that is needful to understand Jesus. It's a hard life lesson and a hard faith lesson because of this ADD, abundant distraction disorder. We feel as though we want to do the right thing, we need to do the right thing, we can do the right thing, but we stop and don't do the one thing that's needful. Absorb Jesus' teachings, know his love, understand his ways. And a part of Jesus' lesson for us in Mary and Martha is that when we do the one thing, all other things work together for God's glory. And I know what stops us sometimes, because I know it's real for me, and that is, well, Jesus wants us to give up everything so that we can follow God. And we feel as though that's not capable. We can't do that. I can't give up everything. I can't abandon everything in life so that I can go follow God. I don't think that's what Jesus is saying. Even when he uses the hyperbolic example, you must leave everything, and these people who left everything and followed him, I think all he's simply saying is, make God priority one. Put God at the top of our list. Put God at the front of all of our ways. Make God first in our lives. This is how Jesus would put it when he's in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He just says, seek God's kingdom and what God wants, and then all these other needs will be met. You see, God's just looking for us to focus. God's just looking for us to pause from time to time and give heed to what Jesus is calling us to. Martha, Martha, there are so many things that you are distracted by, drug about by, but there is need of only one. It's like the need to fill our cup, right? The need if all we're ever doing is doing, going, and serving, and offering ministry, that's all great, and it's good stuff, and we are called to that. But if we never pause to absorb what it is Christ has for us, to know His love beyond compare, we've lost sight of the one thing. But it takes focus. It takes commitment. It takes desire and a willing spirit. Paul the apostle would write about this to the church at Rome when he tells us that we need to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, right? In other words, commit ourselves to God and give ourselves fully to God. And that's the first verse of Romans chapter 12, but I want to share the New Living Translation, verse 2, because it speaks volumes into this. It says this, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. This is the do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." But I love this translation because it says, I've got to basically sit at the feet of Jesus and hear Him share the powerful love that He has to offer and receive the gift of abundant life so that I can be filled again, so that I can be joyous again, so that I can be ready for this ministry and go do what it is I'm called to do, to be the good neighbor and to live out faithfully. I've got to periodically sit at Jesus' feet and do the one thing so that all other things can give glory to God. So I wonder, how can we do this? How is it that we can sit at the feet of Jesus? How is it that we can find a way to prioritize God in the midst of being dragged around by life? Because we do have a life to live, right? We have obligations and we have commitments and we have things that need to get done and life has to happen. God's not asking us to give up our lives. He's asking us to focus on who God is and what is done through God's Son, Jesus. The season of Lent offers us this possibility as a way to sort of open ourselves up to the one thing. It's why sometimes we fast, either from food or behaviors or attitudes or actions, right? The whole point of fasting is to sort of make a way, to make a way for this thing that captivates us and helps us to recognize how it is we can live this faith. I want to offer a couple of suggestions about ways throughout Lent, because Lent's not over yet. I hope you know that, right? There are still days to come, weeks to come. And so if we've not begun a Lenten practice, now's the time. If we have, and maybe we're wanting to sort of sit at Jesus' feet a little more and we want to make this choice to do the one thing, I just want to offer a couple of options. I think if we're to prioritize God, it first needs to, I'm going to challenge you to do this over the next week or two. I want you to journal your time. How do you spend your day? What are we doing with our time? And it'd be fascinating if after 3 or 4 or 5 days you've listed hour by hour what it is you do for the day. If you're like me, there are some times that you can realize you've been wasting away time. Man, how did I spend that much time doing that thing, right? If we journal that time, it begins to highlight, by golly, I might actually have a window here or a window there, right? I might actually have the possibility to sit at Jesus' feet. I might take up the possibility, right? So once you've journaled that over the next 3 to 5 days, the second thing I want you to do is to choose a behavior. You will, after having journaled this for 3 to 5 days, discovered there might be one or two behaviors that I could either, you know, do away with or at least maybe curtail just a little bit. Because by golly, I didn't realize I was spending that much time doing that, right? So choose a behavior and let that behavior come out of your daily schedule. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is. If it can come out, try to take it to come out or curtail it just a little bit. And then third, I want to challenge you to make a date. You know, we make a date with people that we're, you know, in love with, right? Whether our spouse or if we happen to be, dating somebody, we set aside time because somebody we love and somebody we cherish and somebody we want to be with, we set aside time. Let's make a date with God. Whatever that is, whether daily or weekly, make a date with God so that you can open your calendar to the possibility of the one thing. For far too many of us, we think, man, there's too much stuff. I can't fit God in there. I can't make it work. Rather than trying to fit God in, let's try to open ourselves to the possibility that God might want to spend some time with us. And then once we do that, we've begun to open ourselves to the possibility of sitting at the feet of Jesus. Maybe for prayer, maybe for scripture, maybe just to absorb, maybe just to see and wait what it is God's calling us to, how it is God would desire for us to live and do what it is He's calling us to. And then ultimately, I think that helps us to find what it is Mary was finding in Jesus. And that is this, to prioritize our choices. See, that's all God desires, is to be first in our life, to be above all else, to be above family, to be above work, to be above community, to be above personal desire. And when we prioritize God in our lives by giving some time to sit at the feet of Jesus, it begins to highlight how often I want my own will and not God's will, how often I want to do my thing rather than God's thing. How I have sometimes been distracted and dragged around by my own stuff rather than by God's desire. And when we prioritize God's will and God's ways, we are transformed. And when we are transformed, the kingdom begins to be built. And as the kingdom is built, we begin to do what it is God desired for us to do. Isn't it fascinating? One thing has impact on all other things. It's fascinating, this intimate gathering in Martha's home. We find two sisters kind of seemingly bickering at one another, at least one. And what we discover is that there's a powerful gift for living life fully. And it involves pausing and waiting and watching and listening. For many of us, because of our ADD, abundant distraction disorder, we find that hard. I want to suggest that we find a way to discover Mary's better way. Because when we do this one thing, it causes all other things to work together for God's glory. What a gift that could be, to focus on the one thing so that all other things can work together for God's glory. Will you pray with me? Holy and beloved God, thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, for all of his teaching, for all of his wisdom, for his amazing grace, for his radical love, for his servant's heart, and for the ways in which, God, we need to know him better every single day. Help us, Lord, to sit at his feet. Give us courage to take time to pause and listen. Give us wisdom and discernment to know he has so much for us. And as we do, our cup will be filled, our bodies will be strong, our minds and hearts will be bold, and we will be able to be the good neighbor, the faithful servant, a follower of Jesus. But let us first start with the one thing. God, this is our prayer. And we lift it in the name of the one, Jesus, whom we know to be the Christ. Amen.